Beauty is truth, the poet said. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Beauty is a $10,000 diamond ring. Beauty is, pick your favorite definition, but definitions of beauty have changed over the years. On Tuesdays this month, NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg explores the question, who says it's beautiful? Today, pitching an ideal of beauty to consumers who are very young.
Adolescent girls are notoriously self-conscious and insecure. They agonize over their weight, their height, their complexion. For almost 30 years, Jean Kilbourne has been studying the effects of advertising on girls. Miss Kilbourne says that ads are aimed at the very heart of girls' insecurities. Can you give some examples of that, Miss Kilbourne?
Well, probably the chief example is this ideal image of beauty, the model who looks very much the same for every ad, for every product, and on the billboards and TV commercials, everywhere you look, there's this absolutely perfect-looking young woman who's incredibly thin. And if anything, that image has gotten much, much worse over the 30 years that I've been looking at this.
What do you mean by the image got worse? It certainly hasn't gotten uglier. You mean got more beautiful?
No, I see. Well, actually, yes, one would wish the image had gotten worse in that sense. No, what I mean is that the image has become even more tyrannical and more perfect than ever before.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of reasons for that. The major one is the advent of computer retouching. Or actually, it's even more than retouching. It's a kind of digital altering of the image so that they can now take a model and make a composite woman, so that the pressure on girls, which has existed for a long time, is worse than ever because the ideal image now is so completely, inhumanly impossible to achieve.
Give some specific examples of these beauty ads.
Certainly there are ads for beauty products. I mean, any women's magazine is really a catalog of ads, and then articles interspersed that talk about how important it is to achieve this look. But there's ads for skin products and ads for makeup and ads for diet products. These young models are extremely thin. They're almost always white, or if they're not white, they look very Caucasian.
Is this true even in the so-called niche magazines? I mean, magazines created for Hispanic readers, magazines created for African-American readers?
As much as possible, they use Latina models in those magazines or women of color in the African-American magazines. They do their best to find ads that have these models, but if they don't, then they just use the regular ads with the white models. And usually, especially in the African-American magazines, the African-American models look very Caucasian. They have, you know, very light skin. They're often advertising products like hair straighteners or skin lighteners. It really sort of amazes me that that's still going on these days, but you rarely see an African-American model who doesn't look sort of like a slightly tanned Caucasian.
And your point is that because this sort of perfection is being offered, girls at all ages end up feeling even worse about themselves, right? Because no matter how much hairspray they buy, they're never going to look like that model on the page.
They're never going to look like her, but it ties in with a kind of belief in American culture that if you tried hard enough, you could look like this. Now, when I was growing up, it was always a good thing to be pretty, and girls wanted to be pretty, and we did think about our looks and all of that. But there wasn't this kind of drive to look like a model. Not everything sort of was based on that.
Well, do you think it's also because this is so much more pervasive now than it's ever been?
It's much more pervasive now than it's ever been. And, I mean, I say this not only as a researcher, but also as the mother of a 16-year-old girl.
Because you're noticing at home, huh?
Oh, I notice it at home. I notice it with her friends. And these girls are not vain. This isn't about vanity. They're not shallow. They get the message from birth that this is how they're going to be judged, and they are judged in this way. And they all end up learning to look into the mirror and see exactly what's wrong with them.
Isn't it possible that these ads simply are a reflection of what girls actually want, the things that interest them, rather than the other way around, as you are claiming?
Well, I really don't think so. I think that if you look at not only other cultures, but if you also look at our own culture over time, you can see that this is something that has really changed dramatically as there's been more and more advertising and more mass technology to sort of spread this image around.
What about boys? We're just talking about girls. Aren't they self-conscious, particularly teenage boys?
All teenagers are self-conscious, but although the pressure on boys is worse than it used to be, there are some huge differences. There's much less pressure on boys to achieve a certain look than there is on girls. And I think boys are actually very dramatically affected by how it makes them feel about girls. boys are made to feel disappointed if they don't have a girlfriend who looks like these models. And the research is clear that boys who are exposed to lots of these models and ads and that sort of thing tend to judge real women much more harshly. Sometimes the boys, you know, every year I give a lecture on the image of women in advertising at a very conservative all-boys prep school. And the first year I was terrified, you know, because they were all boys. And they gave me a standing ovation, and their questions really moved me because they were questions like, how can I help my girlfriend? My girlfriend thinks she's fat. She's not. What can I say to her? Or questions about their mothers or their sisters. I mean, boys who really were concerned about the damage they could see being done to the women in their lives and wanting to know what they could do to help.
What is your idea of a beautiful child, Jean Kilbourn?
Oh, a beautiful child. A child who's radiant, who's happy, who's civilized but not repressed, who's curious and full of a sense of wonder and adventure, and who is confident and loves to engage in conversation and activities, and who basically feels that her body is powerful and wonderful and can do great things for her, and that her mind opens her up to endless possibilities.
That does sound beautiful. Thank you very much. Jean Kilbourn is author of Can't Buy My Love, How Advertising Changes the Way We Think and Feel. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
Next Tuesday, the story of an African-American who founded a million-dollar cosmetics industry years before the slogan, Black is Beautiful. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.